Pages from a Virgin's Diary is a new vampire movie. It's also a ballet movie, but it's not a typical example of either type because it springs from the eccentric imagination of Guy Maddin. Critics from the New York Times to the Village Voice and the Chicago Reader have put Maddin's movies on their annual 10 best lists. Pat Dowell reports on the Canadian director whose work is often described as indescribable.
Guy Maddin made his first feature film 15 years ago. Tales from the Gimli Hospital is timely today in its fable of two men stuck in quarantine during an epidemic. Twilight of the Ice Nymphs is set on a magical island, and Careful is about rumbling passions in an alpine village threatened by avalanches, where holding back has become a way of life.
Absolute silence is required of us.
Children, sit still. The noise of your play must be muted until you comprehend the risk you represent. Keep a lid on it.
Maddin made Careful in 1992, but it looks like it was made 70 years ago. The mountains are blatantly fake, and a crackling noise was added to the soundtrack to make it sound like early talkies. Maddin sometimes refers to this as his primitive style. He says it was inspired by the surrealists and their preoccupation with dreams.
When I started making movies, I wanted to just somehow recreate the little dreamy tingles, little narcotic dreamlike effects that you get when you're sleeping and someone dead revisits you or something wonderful happens. I wanted to put those onto the screen somehow. And I knew that primitive filmmaking was the best way to assemble this because your dream director tells stories to you very primitively, very strangely.
So it would seem that Dracula would be perfect material for Guy Maddin, but when a producer asked him to adapt the Royal Winnipeg Ballet's production of Dracula to film, and the Canadian Broadcast Corporation agreed to finance it, Maddin tried to beg off. He says he didn't know enough about dance, and he found Bram Stoker's novel to be very dull reading.
Whenever I really woke up in the book, I found it was on the passages where the men were really having trouble dealing with female sexuality, and I found that really intriguing, and I thought maybe this is the key to the mystery of Dracula's durability as a story. There's something about the book that it is really a timeless treatment of male jealousy, hatred, propagandizing against romantic rivals, against national rivals, racist rivals.
Maddin's interest in the sexual and racial politics of Stoker's story was heightened by the headlines he saw when he was planning the film. An American Navy plane was forced down and detained in China in April 2001.
And the amount of yellow peril propaganda that popped up in an instant on television for about a week really amused me because you always think of that stuff as being hilariously dated and forgotten since at least the days of World War II.
In fact, the Royal Winnipeg Ballet dancer who performs the role of Dracula is Chinese. As for Maddin's other problem, not knowing anything about dance films, that turned out to be an advantage, says Jonathan Rosenbaum, film critic for the Chicago Reader.
It's as if he set out to make a dance film without having seen a dance film before, as if he's, you know, attacking the whole question in a very fresh way.
In most dance films, for instance, the camera keeps a respectful distance from the dancers in order to keep the whole body in the picture. Maddin had a different idea. He wanted to bring the camera in close to capture what it was like on stage. But he didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings either, so he asked the dancers and the choreographer what dance films they liked.
All of them told me, without exception, that they hated dance films, that dance films, especially the ones that respected the full body from head to toe and kept the cameras keeping their distance, bored them and wasn't ballet as they knew it. They're used to hearing each other's sweat dropping on the floor and hearing each other's tendons ripping and tutus shredding and grunting and wheezing and ribs cracking and all those things which do happen when you're right amongst them.
You don't hear tendons ripping in Maddin's film. You don't hear people talking either because dialogue exists only as printed intertitles between shots. Music comes courtesy of Gustav Mahler. There are occasional sound effects, as when Dracula smashes out of his coffin on shipboard. An iris, or halo of darkness, frames objects in many shots, harking back to century-old silent films. And for his editing style, Maddin uses fast-paced montage, favored by the influential Soviet filmmakers of the 1920s. Critic Jonathan Rosenbaum says Madden has a complicated relationship with the past.
I think one thing that's also very important about his films, and very timely in a sense, is the way in which they're so handcrafted and homemade, because it seems to me that when you have this total dominance of what most people see, you know, by a few very big companies and so on, spending millions and millions of dollars on advertising, that even though his models are studio films of, you know, another era, that they remind us that basically that of people wanting to sort of like make their own movies and make them all in a kind of personal way that are not possible anymore, it seems to me, except in very rare circumstances with these big budget films. So it's bringing back a quality that used to be in cinema, you know, in the era that he's evoking.
Despite drawing from the entire history of commercial film for his tools, Guy Madden often wins prizes in the experimental film category, including two from the National Society of Film Critics. But he says he doesn't really feel he's experimenting.
I started out each project knowing what I wanted to achieve. A lot of times I fell short of my goals, but it was... No project has ever just been entered into in a spirit of experimentation, but I know what that label means. Experimental just means unconventional, or sometimes black and white.
Guy Madden's next film is in black and white, with melon-colored sequences, he says, and it has six musical numbers. It's about a contest to see which country has the saddest music in the world. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Bob Edwards returns tomorrow. I'm John Itstein.